Good morning. This is Roy Lowy saying welcome to Talking Travel on the Travel Talk Radio Network. My guests today are Mr. Evan Eggers, president of O2Cruise.com, with the latest in cruise news. We have Kimberly Button. Will discuss her forthcoming book, The Disney Lineup. And Jim Higgins, the Biloxi guy with Grand Casinos, a Gulfport Biloxi update. Should be very interesting because we know of the devastation that's taken place there. Bunny Neely will discuss Rome in the shoulder season, and Brian Matthews collecting fossils on the England South Shore. So let's go straight to Evan. Good morning, Evan.
Good morning, Roy. How are you doing?
I'm doing just terrific.
Great.
There's so much happening out there in this cruise situation and in the cruise industry, and you've touched on a number of items, and particularly the Mickey Harrison and Jeb Bush on the FEMA charters. Let's go straight to that, if you will.
Sure, absolutely, yeah. Yeah, that was there was a new industry conference down in Fort Lauderdale this weekend, and late last week and this weekend, and there was a very interesting session presented by Mickey Harrison and Jeb Bush that actually got national media attention. Governor Bush spoke, and really between the two of them, obviously something that's been in the news lately is the press has been gunning for FEMA and looking for waste and fraud and all kinds of good things, and Carnival's kind of gotten caught up in that just by association. And Governor Bush came out very strongly for Carnival and said that basically, he realizes from working with Carnival that they did what they could. It took heroic measures. They canceled 100,000 people to make these ships available for FEMA.
Exactly.
And basically, Governor Bush said, listen, if you don't like the way the ships are being run or used under FEMA, blame FEMA, not Carnival, because Carnival stepped up and did the right thing to the best of its ability.
Right. He also said no good deed goes unpunished.
Yeah, right.
After everybody lambasting him,
Oh, yeah, right. It's the bottom line. No good deed goes unpunished. And then actually, later when Mickey Harrison, who for those who may not know is the chairman of Carnival Corp, which includes Carnival, Princess Seabourn, Holland, and a number of others, he actually spoke directly to the usage of the ships. Now, the press has been mischaracterizing the ships as, mostly empty, which is totally false. He had the numbers with him from that morning, and he said that in New Orleans, the two ships in New Orleans had 50 and 100 empty staterooms, respectively, out of thousands. And then the ship that's in Mobile, Alabama, the Holiday, had 1,000 evacuees on board. So, and otherwise, in New Orleans, the first responders, the firemen, the policemen, the other workers of that sort would not have a roof over their head. So, overall, basically, it's just kind of been a press feeding frenzy around this thing, which has been largely incorrect.
Well, it's interesting because, you try to do the good thing, and no matter what comes back, it comes back to haunt you. And, it's like Carnival's been saying, or people have been saying, well, they're overcharged. But you know what? They canceled the number of cruises that were full. And what do you charge them? You charge them at a lesser rate than you would have, than the revenue you would have received if you had actually carried the cruise passengers?
Well, that's true. I mean, they're a public company. They do have a legal obligation to their shareholders, and so they made their best effort to come up with a contract that would keep their revenue neutral. They wouldn't make money. They wouldn't lose money, which is fair.
Mm-hmm.
And one reason why there were some press releases put out by politicians that mischaracterized things, one thing that people are forgetting is that a cruise line like Carnival makes at least a third of their revenue in onboard revenue, which they're foregoing now. The bars are closed. The shops are closed. So, for example, like the per-person rate, if you will, that we're all used to talking about, should have been higher than what you'd see for a cruise fare.
Right.
Because they have to make up that onboard revenue that they lost.
Right. Rather than look at it towards a regular room rate, it's just you can't compare it to that.
That's right. Exactly correct.
Well,
so that was very interesting. And actually, I was shocked. I've got one of those little BlackBerry-like things, a Trio.
Right.
And this Saturday morning, I'm sitting around checking the news, and sure enough, USA Today had picked up that story. So I was happy that the media was actually giving me, some of the facts rather than just the emotions around the thing.
Well, I think they did the best job they could. It wasn't their fault on who got put on, who didn't get put on, who decided they didn't want to get on there. Carnival put the ships up there, say, here it is. What's your alternative?
Exactly right. Yeah.
Well, Evan, I thank you for that. There was one other item that you mentioned about Colin Veitch, and can you just touch on that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So Colin Veitch is the president of Norwegian Cruise Line. Now,
right.
For those of your listeners who may have been familiar with cruising over the years, Norwegians really had a renaissance since they were bought by Star Cruises, a Malaysian company. Lots of investment, lots of new ships. But nonetheless, Norwegian opened up the New York market by putting the Norwegian Dawn there, doing year-round Caribbean cruising from Manhattan a couple of years ago. And now they're bringing a second ship up to New York, which is starting up there shortly. This is a Norwegian Spirit, again, going to be positioned in New York year-round doing itineraries to the Caribbean. And I was there's an unusual amount of candor at this show. Colin actually said, he said, listen, you know, Mickey has been speaking up here, the chairman of Royal Caribbean has been speaking up here. He says, right now, we're not in the market of competing with their mega ships in a very competitive Florida market. He said, he just came right out and said it. He said, we don't really have, you know, the ships that we feel can compete head-on against.
Can go up against
Carnival and Royal Caribbean, God bless them.
Right.
And so, you know, we're trying to open up new markets, like the New York round-trip Caribbean market, that other people that they feel have been underserved, and that's why they're doing what they're doing. He says, now, you know, things have been going very well for them. Their investors have been happy, so they plan to be building the mega ships they feel can compete. And going head-to-head in Fort Lauderdale, Miami, that have not gotten around to it yet. But I was just kind of laughing that that Colin actually came right out and called a spade in that regard. It was funny.
Well, that's the day in the cruise business. Evan,
yeah,
right. Thank you. Listen, we'll talk to you next week. And
you're very welcome.
We've got to go to break.
Excellent.
Bye-bye.
All right.
Totally gone native. Totally playful. Totally never tried that before. Totally Club Med. Introducing the new Total All-Inclusive Club Med with unlimited drinks, all-day dining, world-class accommodations, 64 sports and activities, all gratuities and more for a totally great price. So you can totally forget your wallet. Call today for a totally unlimited, totally together, totally barefoot time. Book now and save on a 7-night total all-inclusive vacation to Club Med in the Caribbean, Bahamas, or Mexico. Call today. You'll totally want to do it again.
Well, it sounds like I'm back, and we're joined by a lady who is very special, and she has a new book coming out, and with some interesting Disney tips, and it's a pleasure to have author and travel journalist Kimberly Button with us today, and the book is The Disney Lineup. Good morning, Kimberly.
Good morning, Roy.
I just, I was going through your website and read the your forward on you know, the one segment you have on your book, and I find it very interesting that there's some points that I'm kind of confused at. I guess you have to be 12 years old to understand some of these pointers that the kids would certainly understand. Tell us a little bit about your book, if you will.
Okay, well, The Disney Lineup is truly a unique book because it combines part guidebook and it's also a part activity guide. A lot of guidebooks don't focus on the time that you actually waste during the day spending in queue lines waiting for the attractions that you've come to the theme park for. So the guidebook portions tells you the helpful hints that you need to know for each attraction, what your children might be afraid of, ways to minimize your queue line wait, disabled access, things like that. And then the activity guide, each attraction has word searches, trivia questions, scavenger hunts that are all uniquely themed for that attraction.
Now, so it has information about the theme park attractions,
mm-hmm.
and the shows, along with the insider tips.